Where do you go to find comfort when you need it? Do you have a special comfort food or a comfortable chair in which to watch your favourite shows? Maybe you have a favourite soft toy. Maybe you've got a comfortable, happy place somewhere in nature. Where do you go to find comfort when you need it? Many Australians tapped into their favourite comforts during 2020 because, let's be honest, it's been a tough year so far. But comfort food and comfort entertainment only goes so far. We're searching, all of us, for a source of comfort that is deeper and stronger than the pleasure buzz of chocolate or the warmth of a blanket. In our new series on In the God of Encouragement, we're considering how God is the source of our comfort. Comfort not just in the sense of consolation, but comfort as the strengthening of one who comes alongside us for the journey ahead. That kind of comfort is exactly what Paul says he has when he writes to a church in Greece that had been causing him all kinds of grief and discomfort. In this opening chapter of 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at three aspects of comfort. Firstly, God's character and his actions. Secondly, what it means to share in Christ's sufferings. And thirdly, how we can experience God's comfort in practice. So firstly, Paul is comforted by God's character and by his actions. After greeting the church members in Corinth, Paul praises God with these words in verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. In this brief biography of God, God's character is personal and relational. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus, and he is compassionate. He's not some impersonal force or a distant divine authority. No, God has revealed himself in his Son as a personal, close, loving, caring God. Consider Psalm 23 and its portrait of the Lord as our shepherd. Even when we walk through the darkest valley, he is with us. His rod and his staff, that is, his protection and his guidance, they comfort us. And then there's the prophet Isaiah, who proclaimed these words to a hurting, tired, sin-weary people in exile. Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for." According to Isaiah 61, God would comfort his broken people by sending a suffering servant to bring hope and help and release. And we know that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. He commenced his public ministry at the Nazareth synagogue by quoting Isaiah 61 and declaring that he had come to comfort those who mourned. Jesus brought comfort by healing the sick, releasing people afflicted by evil spirits, calming the storm that threatened his disciples in the boat, comforting Mary and Martha when their brother died. Jesus is God's rescuer, God's comforter, come in the flesh. But that was AD 30, for a window of just a few years. Can Jesus comfort us now, even if he isn't here physically anymore? That's the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. When Jesus was preparing his disciples for his impending arrest, trial and execution, he said in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The Spirit is another advocate, another comforter, another counselor. We see here the richness of the biblical concept of comfort. It's not just easing our burdens or consoling us, but comfort includes advocacy and encouragement. Literally, it's the bringing alongside of strength to someone. All those English nuances come from the same Greek word, which found in John 14 and also in 2 Corinthians 1. Jesus explains the ministry of the comforting Holy Spirit as one of being with us, of teaching us, of reminding us of Jesus' words and helping us to testify to the truth of Jesus. The Liverpool Football Club, which won the Premiership this year, have as their club anthem the song, "You'll Never Walk Alone." It expresses the solidarity, the strength, the comfort that comes from having people around you and support you through tough times. God is the God of all comfort, because that is his promise to his people too. We will never walk alone. He has come to us in the person of Jesus, and he lives in us by the person of the Holy Spirit. No matter where you go, there is no place out of his sight, out of his reach, out of his loving care. When you entrust your life to Jesus, you will never walk alone. The second big theme in this passage from 2 Corinthians is that comfort and suffering go together. Notice that Paul doesn't say, "God comforts me by taking away all my troubles." No, God comforts us in the midst of suffering, rather than giving us a ticket out of our difficulties. That's what verse 4 says. God comforts us in all our troubles. We sometimes ask God to beam us up as if God had a Star Trek transporter beam to extract us from a challenging situation. But Paul had found, and he records this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that he received grace when he was asking to be spared the thorn in his flesh. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Everyone who puts their trust in Jesus is now part of the body of Christ. And that's not just a label or a metaphor. For Paul, it was a lived reality that just as Christ suffered physically, the church, which is Christ's body in the world now, continues to suffer. And we're connected together with each other and with Christ. So God works in us, in our weaknesses, in our sufferings, as well as in our redemption and in final victory. And so if we suffer like Christ, we are also comforted as Christ was. Verse 5 says, "Just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." What this means for us is that we don't need to run away from challenges or struggles, but we can face them confident that God meets us in our troubles and gives us strength to endure the challenges. That's how he comforts us in the midst of suffering. And finally, how do you receive God's comfort in practice? Through God's word, through prayer, and through others. Romans 15, verse 4 explains it like this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the comfort they provide, we might have hope. God's word gives comfort and encouragement. Remember, it's the same word behind the English, either one of those English words. God's word assures us of God's love, his plan for us for good, and his rescue made real in Jesus Christ. So read God's word daily. Read God's word systematically, and you will receive God's comfort. And if you're in need of comfort from the God of comfort, turn to him in prayer. Prayer is the engine room of faith, where promises become reality, where struggles become victories, where hurt becomes healing, where doubt gives way to trust, and where weariness finds rest. Without prayer, we will never find lasting comfort. But with prayer, we will never be without God's comforting presence. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Promise that God's peace, which passes all understanding, will guard our thoughts and our feelings as we pray. That's an invitation to meet the God of comfort in prayer. And lastly, we encounter the God of comfort when we comfort others. Notice what it says in verse 4. Paul says the comfort he received from God had a purpose. It was meant to be passed on. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So imagine God's comfort as a flow of water. It flowed from God to Paul and from Paul to the Corinthians. And now it flows from God to us and from us to those we know who are suffering. Receive and then give. Be a river rather than a reservoir. God's plan is to pour comfort into our lives that we then allow it to flow onto others, rather than keeping it for ourselves. This week, you could be a comfort to others by looking out for your neighbours who are struggling, or connecting with some members of the church who you haven't heard from recently. Even just making a couple of phone calls this week to let people know that you're thinking of them and praying for them. This principle of sharing our struggles and our comforts with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's seen in verse 6. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and your salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. I remember one Christmas. Now, Christmas can be a lonely time of year. And during my university days, I was in London midway through a backpacking holiday one Christmas. And it might have been lonely because I just had one friend from Australia and the streets of London were as quiet as a ghost town. But rather than focus on ourselves, we went to the local church and helped out with their Christmas lunch for the needy in the area, by bringing comfort to others in a practical way. I myself was encouraged and I forgot about any feelings of loneliness. When we step out to comfort others, we receive comfort ourselves. Where should we turn when we need comfort? Turn to the God whose character and actions are comforting. Turn to the God who comforts us in the midst of our trials and suffering. Turn to God's word, turn to God in prayer, and bring God's comfort to a hurting world. From time to time, I have a lower back condition that flares up and causes considerable pain, discomfort. And when that happens, I usually do two things. First up, I take an anti-inflammatory tablet. And secondly, I see a physiotherapist who gets me doing stretches and exercises to build up my core strength. Now, when it comes time to dealing with lockdown or other struggles, such as grief or sickness or loss of work, our initial comforts, our quick fixes, food or retreating into our comfort zone of entertainment, well, that's kind of like taking an anti-inflammatory tablet. It provides some short-term relief. But when we connect to the God of comfort through his word, through a life of prayer, through sharing our struggles with brothers and sisters in Christ, that's like building up our spiritual core strength. When our life is structured to give and receive God's comfort, we'll be encouraged and also encourage others. I thank God for his comfort, and I pray you experience it and share it this week. Amen.